Start again.
Start again. Now we're recording.
Now we're
Missed all that
recording.
banter at the
That is a
beginning.
always a good start. Yeah, all the best bit.
All in red, check levels, turn off phones,
Yeah.
and check recording,
It's
background noise, pop shielder in place.
Clearly written there. Yeah.
Clearly written.
Demon Dice Podcast 49, check recording. Clearly written there. Check recording in red. That's the...
Oh, at least we didn't get too far into it.
So make sure you check everyone knows you're recording both sides.
Yeah. I am now.
A few of the key parts there. Yeah, that's
not that one. Definitely check, check. Recording.
Good. Now he's got to remember what we said. Something about board games, wasn't it?
That's too hard.
Should we just call it a day?
3, 2, 1. Welcome, dear listeners, to Devon Dice Podcast, episode 49. This episode is called The Big Numbers Game, and it's brought to you by our sponsor, Meeple's Corner, and was recorded on the 6th of May, 2018. On tonight's show, still didn't fill that bit in. You could have filled that in while I was talking. On tonight's show... Joel is lacking content and Lewis is lacking anything else afterwards. Plus we will have news and Kickstarter from the board gaming industry. I am your host, Joel, and joining me on tonight's show is...
Yes, hello everyone. Hello the internet. It's Lewis.
Hey!
Thank you. Better.
And if anyone's missing Sam's lustrous tones, he can't make it again due to painting. He stripped the walls and now he's painting them.
So, yeah.
Big renovations happening at the Sam headquarters. But hopefully he will be back shortly. Most definitely.
Yes, hopefully. Show. Yeah, I'm sure he will do.
On to bookkeeping. And this episode is actually very special for us. When we first started the podcast... I particularly had no idea who was listening, and no one else really did. I mean, I saw people downloading it, but I'm not a person that looks deeply at figures. I like to just do stuff, and I go, fingers crossed that happens. And then I would hope that even if 50 people tuned in to listen to our thoughts and banter, what we've been doing would be fantastic. And as I said, I've not been keeping track of numbers. Letting our love for board games keep her motivated. But however, since Lewis has joined, he's been looking into it and to see how we're doing. And he's told us, or he's told me, that we are doing far better than we could hope for. And we are actually delighted to announce that a couple of episodes ago, we smashed through the 10,000 download mark. Which is
Woo!
Amazing, and just like to thank all our listeners for this very epic event, or epic feat, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just so amazing. And I was having a look through the numbers, and you know, I thought, God, maybe there'd be a few of our friends listening, perhaps a few people would met sort of at different events. But it turns out that you lovely people at home have been tuning in your hundreds to every single episode, and looking at the figures, we have regular listeners all around the world. I mean, there's people from the USA, Sweden, Belgium, Germany, Greece, and some even as far away as Japan as well. What an absolute true honour it is to have you absolutely fantastic people listening to us. That is absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much.
Yes, and to celebrate this monumental achievement, we are pleased to announce that a few extra special episodes will be coming up in the next few weeks. We are heading to UK Games Expo at the end of the month, and we'll be doing a recording, a live episode recording there on the NEC Birmingham. And we'll also be recording a UK Expo preview show for the upcoming next episode.
Yes, indeed. And following on from the very popular ad in our Christmas episode, we're very pleased to be announced we'll be releasing some very special episodes of our very new quiz called Devon Dice Disconnect. It's a super challenging board game quiz in which you'll need to solve riddles and puzzles to find the ultimate connected answer. Board game is a must, so I'm not holding out too much hope for Joel and Sam. I'll be hiding in the quiz master's chair. I do always find a quiz is so much easier when you can see the answers in front of you.
Yeah, I think I can't wait for that. I don't know. I'll let you know. Sounds like escape room in a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it's more like did you ever see the TV quiz show Only Connect?
No.
Have you not seen it?
No.
It's on BBC Two. For any of our international listeners that we know we have, I don't know if you have an international equivalent, but it's along that sort of route. So you've got to try and kind of work out the clues that give you the answer, and then the answers linked to the final answer, and it should be good.
Have you played Linky yet?
I haven't, but yes, I imagine it'll be similar to Linky.
Yeah, it sounds very similar to Linky, which I played at Christmas and actually had a good time. It's actually all right. So,
well, yeah, no, I mean, so it'll be along those sort of lines. If there's any BBC Radio 4 listeners, it's almost a very similar format to the Round Britain quiz, but it's not about stuff in Britain. I'll be
surprised if we have any BBC Two listeners or Radio BBC Two. Is it Radio BBC Two?
Radio BBC Four. BBC
Four. I'll be surprised if you've got any of those listeners listening to our podcast. Be too low.
Mate, don't put down BBC Radio 4. BBC Radio 4 is top quality listening.
It's hard hitting facts and discussions on there, and it's just us here.
Mate, just you wait. Radio 4 are going to give us a call soon. Mate, we're going to have a
cease and desist call.
Yeah. That's much more likely.
Not only have we reached those formidable numbers in downloads, but also reached another milestone this week. I think it was this week. I reached 10,000 views on my unboxing of FE Hitters, which is awesome. Never actually.
Yeah, I mean, 10,000 would be insane.
The 10,000 would be great and probably get loads of attention, but I mean, I've put videos out before and barely they get past 100. So the fact that this one's reached 1,000 views, and no, I've not been sitting there hitting refresh every time I go on YouTube. Or anyone else I know, unless someone else has been doing that. Thank you very much if you have, but...
No. I just did it for you, Joel. I just did it for you.
No, it's just amazing. I mean, it was the first video I did this year. I kind of just said, I might just do an unboxing for this because there was a lot of good content in it. And didn't think it would get this far. So because of that, as well as what we promised you before, Lewis has actually promised that he'll come around my house and we'll play a game of Heavy Hitters, and we'll record it and then we'll put it up on YouTube, so you'll see our playthrough of Heavy Hitters, maybe with all the extra content. I don't know, haven't decided yet. So yes, thank you much if you looked at the videos and are looking at the videos, and if you are looking at the videos, just please subscribe to it. That helps, and like the videos as well. It also helps.
Yes, indeed. We're making a lot of big promises, aren't we? We need to make sure that we stick to these.
Yeah, so if you have not been to the YouTube channel and you've got a YouTube account, please pop over there and just hit the subscribe button. That really does help a lot.
You can even watch my epic fail of a filming, which is always exciting.
So yes, so big numbers for this week, which is pretty good. And hopefully things are on the up for us. So... I know Lewis has been pushing me like some kind of sergeant major in the army kind of thing. Do this, do that, get down, give me 10. I'm sorry. To talk. Anyway, so yes. But other than that, I think this episode's going to be quite short.
Someone's got to keep you on your toes, Joel. Someone's got to keep you on your toes.
I think this episode's going to be a short one because I don't really have much to talk about. I've played a few games.
No.
But we mainly talked about them already. So,
yeah.
Go through what I've been playing. I played a few games of Great Western Trail, and I do believe that now encroaches into my top 10 games of all time. I do like
Wow, a game. Bold.
Great Wrestling Show. And I played Sarah and Nick last Sunday and smashed them. So I'm looking
Boom.
Forward to
You're all over it.
Yeah, looking forward to what the expansion brings.
Are you going to be entering any competitions for that one as well? You're going to be becoming the Southwest Great Western Trail champion?
Would, but and... I think the game would be a very long day, tournament day, wouldn't it, really? I mean, what,
yeah.
The game's an hour and a half, maybe two, depends how many people are playing. So, yeah, a bit of a day.
Maybe a whole weekend.
No. And on top of that, I don't know why I put Charter Stone twice in the script, but on top of that, after that, Lewis, the other Lewis, old Lewis, finally joined us, and we started a new campaign of Charter Stone. So this is my second campaign. I've done the recharge. I've got the recharge kit. The only problem with the recharge kit is that you don't get these extra charter chests. So in the game, the first box, you get all the guffins to play one game. And you get these charts. Each person has their own little chart and they get a chest. It's basically a tuck box, which they can put all their stuff in from game to game and keep track of it. And there's little tracking bits on the side. And I'm not spoiling anything. This is straight from the get-go. So that's not a spoiler. But in the recharge pack, you don't get these charter chests. You get... stickers to put over the top of the original charter chest, which I thought was a bit off, really, because how much would it cost to like put like flat packs and extra tuck boxes in there? Also, people can't keep their stuff from what previous. So, I mean, I haven't played a full game yet, so I don't know then what really happens. But it would have been nice to see your achievements on it or something like that. But anyway, so.
Didn't
come in the recharge pack. So I've been like looking at it, go, well, I've got a double-sided board, I've got all the stuff to do it, I've got the recharge pack, but I've just not got these charter chests to like keep track of what's going on. So I did think, oh, I might just do envelopes. So I did get...
That's a good idea.
I had some envelopes, and I put them in envelopes, and I was like, okay, it's not too bad. And then I actually done with the index box now, with all the cards, because I've played halfway through another game. I kind of know what happened, so I'm not really spoiling anything for myself. I actually started putting all the cards into envelopes. So when you open a crate up, I can just hand them an envelope with all the stuff in they need to open the crate instead of flicking through like a kind of index box, which takes time. I know that's kind of why the first game's taking so long. It's like, I'm opening this crate. Okay, I need this number, that number. What number is it? Oh, that number. And you're going through it, and it's like this one, this one, and then learning the new rules and things like that. So this time it
feels like a game of Seventh Continent, that.
Yeah, it's quite similar to that, trying to find the right number.
Flick through the cards. Right, I need to look. Okay, you need to get this card, then this card, then this card.
Yeah, but usually it's just about one card, isn't it? When someone does one thing, it's about one card, isn't it, each time?
Well, what was
I suppose. I don't know. No, anyway.
No, in Seventh Continent, I mean, if you want to explore, you've got to turn over a card, then normally do what it says on that card, then you've got to find the next card that's actually the map card, and then you put that down, and then, But, you know, I mean, I still enjoyed it. It's fun, it's not, but it is a bit labour-intensive.
So I just thought this would speed things up a bit, and it did. It really did. It's just that I wasn't happy with the envelopes for their charter chests. So the night before, I was online, and I was downloading templates for making actual... charter chests, tuck boxes. I'm sick of this stuff. I really am.
Well, people love that, don't they?
I know you're listening, Sarah. I'm happy I spent time doing that. But she makes lovely food, so I can't really complain. So yeah, we started.
Game. So she's gonna pay you back with food, love.
Yeah, and we started a new campaign, and we've done four games in. Space of probably about 5-6 hours. So yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good game.
Had a proper day of it.
Ticks on. The funny thing was, you've not played a game yet, have you?
I've got it sitting on my shelf waiting for the right group. I don't want to start it with the wrong group and then it'll get ruined.
I don't mind even playing it a third time. I actually really like the game. Anyway, so the first game we were playing, I was like trying to pull my punches a bit, because I was like, well, I know what to do and I know how to get loads of points. I don't want to win the first game, mainly because I know what happens, and mainly I just didn't want to be that dick that just like, yeah, stomped all over you. So
takes advantage.
But it was getting to the end of the, getting towards the end of the game, and I was like, I can't help not getting points now. All I'm doing is giving me points, and then
you're just too good, Joel. Just too good. It's like King Domino all over again, isn't it?
It is. Might as well not have been there. Just played it for me. No, it wasn't like that. It was just like, I was like, well, if I don't do this, they know I'm pulling my punches. So I might as well just do it.
Yeah.
And just get the points and just not. Yeah. So, yeah, I unwittingly won the first game, which to their enjoyment was a nice surprise to them. So without, I can't spoil anymore, but yeah. And then the only other thing, I mean, played some more Altiplano, something like that. We played another game on that, and actually we all enjoyed it far much more, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think Altiplano is a game where you get a few games like that, don't you, where you need to, everyone needs to have played a game before, because people know what's good and when, because there's a lot of sort of elements to it, and the game kind of has sort of natural phases to it. And if until you've played the game and you know how long it's going to last, you can't get a sort of true idea of what you need to do sort of when, and also what's really important. So I think game we played, I think Mike and I, well, Mike certainly had about eight or nine boats or something, didn't he? And I had three or four or something, whereas I think the other two guys didn't have any.
No.
And boats are really, really, boats are kind of the mechanic in the game where there's these things that you get, and then they give you access to some goods that you can't get, well, you can't get easily any other way. Kind of boats are kind of the easiest way to guarantee that you've got sort of one of these bits, and that's the thing with Altiplano. You very much have to unlock certain parts of the game by getting certain goods. Nothing is sort of available to you, sort of, not everything is available to you from the word go, so you've got to try and work out which bits you want to go for, and try and get in there early before someone else pinches them. But certainly we got a lot better idea of what we're supposed to be doing the second time round. Things are more sort of evenly spread, although you did hate drafting with the bonus scoring housing. Just
I had nothing else.
Unbelievable scenes.
So I just look at what's Lewis got lots of. Oh, he's got lots of that. I'm going to take this. So because nothing else would.
So these houses, like they give you sort of four. Sorry, yeah. So these houses give you sort of four bonus points at the end of the game. They give you plus one for each sort of type of good, you know, be it the wool or the llamas, or I don't think there's one for llamas actually. Is there a water or whatever the goods are, and Joel was picking stuff that he didn't even have the goods for, and I had about 10 of, and was purely doing it purely just to try and mess up my game. Didn't work though, so
I weren't far off. So but yeah, the thing was, it's just that boat race at the beginning. It's everyone's now knows they've got to go after boat straight away in the beginning, so it just seems to be this massive bum rush to get wood and then build a boat and get as many boats as possible for other people to. And
yeah,
just feels like I don't know how you stop that, because as you said, they give you a couple of points, but also gives you a resource that you use throughout the game, and just seems like a massive
It's that extra resource at the start, isn't it? That's so beneficial.
Where like last game I was like, I need a boat for my achievement at end game scoring. I need a boat, I need a house, and I need this order. And I didn't get a boat, and I didn't even get a house, because it all gone before I even had a chance. I did last game.
That was in your first game, wasn't it?
Yeah. So then the second game...
Yeah, you did okay in the last game we played.
Not too far. Michael lapped behind.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? He looked like he was doing all right, but...
No,
I think he tried. I think with Altiplano, it seems very much being specialist is a much better idea, because I basically sort of ignored houses this time, and I very much went for filling in the warehouse, and I got and getting lots of the 3-point goods, and I got a lot of points from that.
I think if you, it's unlike a lot of games that where in a lot of games, you know, you have to and balance things out a little bit of everything's normally the best tactic. In this one, it kind of pushes you down a kind of route, partly because you can't get the resources for some routes, and partly because you just don't have the time or resources to invest in every side, and you get kind of ever increasing bonuses if you kind of stick to one sort of area. So I think that was, so I just, yeah, I just went for filling up the warehouse, and that seemed to pay off. And Michael went for most contracts, didn't he? And you kind of went for the most houses.
Yeah, I just thought houses are pretty good because it gives you 4 points, but also gives a related to a good, an extra point in what its value is, which actually could turn goods that are 0 point values into 1 point values, which is pretty good.
So I thought, and it would have been even better for you if you actually took the one that related to the goods that you had rather than that I had.
I took all I could until there was none left.
That is true. You did have about, how many houses do you have? It was about eight, was that? Was it?
No, not that many. About six or seven.
Did you? Gosh, yeah.
And if Mike hadn't gobbled up all the water, like I said, I think he needed the water to put his boats on. I would have won because I had an end game scoring card of 19 points and I just needed one water, which was all ready to go and get. And then Mike just grabbed it.
Oh, that is good for me that you didn't then.
So I suppose that's just one of the things you need to kind of aim to get one, at least one of each good throughout the game, just to have that opportunity to maybe score.
It's hard though. I couldn't get any of those cocoa beans.
Yeah.
And then if you don't get those, you can't get water.
So
I was kind of locked out of that whole battle.
It was funny, Mike accused me of cheating because he said, "How have you got one of those?" I was like, "Mike, I can buy it because I've got this tile." Oh, yeah. I was like, "Did you think you were the only person that can get cocoa beans because you had a special
card?" Yeah, this cocoa bean monopoly.
Just because you
all right, Mr. Cadbury,
boat with a cocoa bean on it doesn't mean you now just own it.
Yeah.
I was like, "I've got a tile now. I can buy as many as I can with the money I have," which I went down the route of trying to take the monopoly or cocoa beans. So, that was quite funny.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a very good game, and it's grown a huge amount in my estimations based on the second play. But I still think I prefer Orleans.
Yeah.
Orleans, you can go, everyone knows where they are with Orleans. Like, you could introduce that to someone who's never played it before, and they'd be able to see. You can see what you need to do a lot more easily, whereas with Altiplano, there's a lot of hidden stuff that goes on.
Mm.
Like these decks of cards that are sitting on different locations, and you don't understand how good they are until you... Everyone's already taken them all.
Gone. Or you're just trying to get one.
And it's like, a bit late.
And it's just, it's because you draw in the tokens out the back. So I just need one wood. How do I get wood? Right, I need wood.
Yeah.
I'm not drawing the right tokens, right? And then it's that kind of frustration. Right? You need to go through a loop, get the right tokens, and then they need to cycle back through your bag again. It just takes a long process if you have tokens going on. So, it's good. And I said, yeah, I think I'm with you. Orleans is still the better one of the two. But it has
quite
a lot since last game. So, yeah, cool.
They're both very good games.
And the earlier last game, on Friday, I went up to Meeple's Corner for a bit because Christoph was promising new games. And he actually had in Shards of Infinity from Stoneforge Games, I think they're called. Basically, these are the people that make Ascension, probably one of the the third best deck builder that's been around full time at the minute. And it's another deck builder, and I don't want to say too much because I've actually done a video, and the video is almost ready, and I'm going to put it out very soon before Christoph can actually release the game. So it is another deck builder. It's quite small in content. It's actually good. The artwork's good. Gameplay's pretty good. I don't really want to say anymore. Head along, find my video on YouTube.
So what you're saying, Joel, is that all the listeners should check out our YouTube channel. Is that right? Yeah. And all the great video content we've got on there.
Yeah, definitely. I just don't want to spoil it for your just going to make
it work. Yeah, no, I actually want to watch that because I didn't play that with you.
No. So what have you been up to?
Yeah, I was going to say we played your you got the with your massive fanboy of Clank. You of course got Clank: The Mummy's Curse,
yep.
The latest sort of expansion board and a few extra pieces for Clank. For everyone who doesn't know, I imagine most people know about Clank now. Clank is a deck builder, sort of fantasy themed, where you are essentially going in to try and steal bits from, first of all, I think the first game's a Dragon's Lair, Clank in Space spin-off, which is in space, and you're trying to go against some big space lord, and essentially you're using your deck. It's a deck building mechanic where you're buying more cards as the game's going on, and you're using your deck to move you around and also buy more cards that make you more powerful, get you more points, help you steal the treasure, get out, and there's always a big boss who is breathing down your neck and getting very close to killing you. And the latest iteration is the one called The Mummy's Curse. So it's got Egyptian themed. Their big new mechanic that they've introduced is this idea that there's always sort of bad guys that pop up that you can use to normally sort of hit them. And then that'll normally give you sort of an extra bonus, like take some extra money, or if you sort of knock the bad guys out, draw some extra cards. Whereas the new one in this is a mummy that walks around the board. We thought it would sort of be going room to room, sort of chasing you, but actually it sort of jumps to different areas based on a dice roll, which was slightly disappointing. I was expecting to be chased by a mummy. I was quite excited by that concept. But you know, you can't get everything in life. And so essentially when the mummy sort of gets you, it basically gives you these little tokens that are worth -2 points in the game. But there's lots of different new mechanics where you can try and get rid of those -2 points. And there's also new mechanics where you can gain those 2 points. And you can also get some quite big bonuses if the mummy is in your area and sort of beating it up. I mean, I found it a little bit frustrating the way the mummy moved around, because it moved via a dice roll. And I essentially found, so I kind of deliberately thought, I think in this game, more than it is usually, the kind of the swords that you get on the cards, which are kind of a different currency, are going to be more beneficial. I'm building my deck with more swords than I normally would have, only for the mummy just to always be miles away from me. And every time I try to get near it, it would just move and some of the and so in the end I sort of gave up chasing the mummy and just cracked on with just getting in, getting out. So I didn't really get a huge amount of experience what it's like being involved with the mummy, but there you go. I had fun. It's very strange, I don't know why, every time I play Clank I have a really good time and I think, oh, this is a good game. But whenever somebody says, do you want to play Clank to me, I always just go, not really. I have no idea why. But it is a good game and I do enjoy playing it, and you are such a fanboy that we end up playing it quite a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've only played it once as well on this expansion. I actually enjoyed the expansion. I actually prefer it better to the Sunken Treasurer at the minute. Little kind of annoyed that the mummy only moves from section to section. As you said, it doesn't move room to room, but it does kind of give that kind of free, if it's in your section you can hit it, kind of aspect to it. We did play it wrong. Basically, when you hit the mummy, you roll a dice and he moves on. We weren't doing that. We were only moving.
So you mugged me off. Well, no wonder I couldn't ever get it near me.
Towards the end of the game, and we just carried on playing how we've been playing it. But basically, when you hit the mummy, it moves. Well. So I think we would have been affected more by the constant moving of the mummy. But even that, I still enjoyed it. I liked it. I really do like it.
It was a good game of Clank.
Yeah. And so, yes.
I'd struggle to tell someone that they definitely need to get this expansion. I would still maintain, if you like Clank in Space, it's got the modular board, so you've already got the variety there, and you've got everything that you need there. There's a few extra bits of little crystals and things, isn't there? In Clank in Space, so you've got the extra content. Just buy Clank in Space and don't worry about the original Clank and all its expansions, because they're essentially just doing what Clank in Space does in one big package.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
That's my feeling on it.
Yeah, definitely. Kung Fu Zoo!
Kung Fu Zoo! Yes, this is the dime that you picked up. You picked it up at the Meeple's Corners
Games
Day, didn't you?
Yeah.
And it's basically everyone takes on the role of a sort of an animal, and then you've got your dice that represent you as the animal, and then the bottom of the box turns into sort of a ring, and corners of the ring, there's little holes that your dice can drop down, and you sort of on your turn you kind of flick your dice from the edge of the ring, trying to knock your opponents down the hole. And there's a few extra little rules. It's very simple. It's quite fun. The problem, we were having fun with it, but I think the problem is that it seemed to have very frustrating ends to it, very disappointing ends to it, because you have sort of four dice, of which you only use two at a time, but you need to get rid of both dice before you can get your next two. And if you have dice left, you can't get your next two. And also the dice can land on a stunned side, and if your dice is stunned, then you just basically do nothing. So then the first game, I spent half the game just watching other people take turns because both my dice were stunned, and I had to wait till someone knocked my dice and it rolled off the stunned face. Mm-hmm. So we ended up playing a second game was it a house rule, or was it in the actual rule itself?
It's a variant in the rules.
It's a rule variant. If you're stunned, then you can still do it, but you have to flick with the opposite hand or something. Is that right?
Yeah, flick with the opposite hand or the pinky. Finger.
That was a much better game we played the second time. But there's still sort of, I don't know. It felt like things finished like disappointingly. I felt like I had two dice left, which I apparently wasn't allowed to use because someone was. Or something, and I don't know. I found it a bit less satisfying than I wanted it to.
Yeah, I mean, it is. We had a blast when we picked up at Meeple's Games Day. Isaac loves it; he thinks it's brilliant. And it was funny because we got it out with the wife and Caitlin, and we played the first game, and it ended up quite similar to like our game we played, where the wife was stunned, Caitlin was stunned, it was just me and Isaac bashing the dice around, and my wife's going, this is rubbish. Why did you get this?
It is.
Absolutely rubbish.
It does suck when you just...
You need to, like, nothing. Let's just play another game, and I'm sure it's going to be better, and luckily, the second game was better. She wasn't stunned throughout, and then I looked at us, we can introduce this rule, let's do it like this, so that kind of helps out. So I think kind of have to play with that, kind of playing with the opposite hand, and you think it's going to be better. It's just the same as your normal hand, but it's not. It goes off in a weird angle.
It's really, really hard.
But we only played the cage match. There's an actual second game in there where you play points, basically flick all your dice in, whatever face up, they score points for different faces of the die that finishes on. First person with 21 points wins the match, which is a nice little add-on.
I'm not sure I'm particularly interested in playing that though. I think it was fine, but it's certainly a rarity game, but it's certainly not one I would jump out to pick up myself.
No, I can see that. But it's fine. I wish there was a few more animals in it. It's only come to four animals. And they got plans to bring out another four. So I don't know if that's just going to be an expansion or like a standalone cross expansion, maybe. But
yeah,
see what happens.
Do you think I
eight player cross
expansions?
Can have then.
But it's got two. That would be good. Good, but because of the really rules about if you're the last one in, even if someone's got dice, it doesn't really matter because they've been on the hole, and so you kind of just sit there and then you think, oh, I'm gonna next I'll use this die. And by the time it gets around to your go, the game's won. Is it? Oh, what happened there? It's just a bit, yeah, it's a little bit strange. I think with loads of players, that'd be even more frustrating.
Just you wait.
Because there's nothing you can do in between your turn.
Anyway, on to Lewis's perfect partner.
Okay.
Yes, that is true. It's time for another Deb and Dice Perfect Partners, the feature where we pair your favourite board games with some really great beer. The aim is hopefully to encourage you to try different games and different beer from outside of your usual fare. This week, I thought I'd have a look at the hugely popular Seventh Continent and see how we could augment that already hugely atmospheric game. As I'm sure you all know, Seventh Continent is a cooperative game which puts you in the shoes of a Victorian explorer returning to the mysterious Seventh Continent, trying to lift a curse placed on you the last time you visited. Pretty deep. It's unlike any other game we've played, as it takes its inspiration from the popular Choose Your Own Adventure books of our youth. The translation into the tabletop format is mightily impressive and has you wandering through different environments trying to find clues and solve puzzles to work out what it is you actually have to do. All the while your action deck, which doubles as your life, dwindles with every step. It's very atmospheric, challenging and enjoyable, and perfectly encapsulates the feel of a group discovering an epic adventure story together. So what beer could add to this dark and mysterious atmosphere, here you ask? Well, I think obviously it'll have to be one from the darker end of the spectrum. Now, the porters and stouts have fallen out of vogue recently. However, I'm not entirely sure why. I'm a big fan of a really lovely dark ale. And recently I discovered a really great dark sweet porter from the Flying Monk Brewery called Dark Lane. And it's this beer I'm recommending. It's a little harder to get hold of than some beers, although you can get it directly from the brewery, and they do post it out, but I feel it's really worth it. You see, when you go for a darker beer, it's much less about the overpowering taste of the hops, and the more complex, malty tastes can come into their own. And Dark Lane from the Flying Monk Brewery has a depth and complex sweet and chocolate flavours with a slight bitter coffee aftertaste, and it's this deep complexity to the flavours and its dark colour that I think matches it perfectly with Seventh Continent, and why Dark Lane from the Flying Monk Brewery and Seventh Continent are this episode's perfect partners. Now, if you're struggling to get hold of Dark Lane, Sainsbury's sell a fantastic porter, and it's their own, from their own Taste the Difference range. It's actually brewed by Shepherd's Neame, I think, but it's called Sainsbury's London Porter, and that one would do as a perfect substitute as well in terms of getting that dark and complex flavours to match the game beautifully. I hope you guys have enjoyed this matching. Give me a shout if you love or hate it on the Dev and Dice Board Game Geek Guild, or via Twitter to @_brewerytour, or give me a shout if you would like your favourite game given a perfect partner, and I'll do my best to give it a go.
Let's get on to the news. Couple of things in the news. I don't know if I'm surprised or not with this announcement, but Stonemaier Games have announced My Little Sai.
Yeah, I can't work this out at all. It's really odd.
I kind of saw this coming, because when Sai was released, I saw a guy put on Facebook that he had changed Sai to use the My Little Pony theme so his daughter and her friends could play it. So it was kind of like a kid-friendly version of Sai.
And so I think I did see something about that a while ago, yeah.
And he named it My Little Sai. And I thought straight away that's going to be snapped up. Either it's going to be snapped up by Stonemaier or someone else is going to do it. And I just thought, I don't know if they do it because will he get the My Little Pony rights? I mean, it'd be quite expensive. So that was my only concern, would they get that? But they haven't. They've not gone with getting My Little Pony. They've gone and made their own little kind of My Little Universe in the side universe. So it kind of using, what is it called when you use animals? Anthropomorphic.
Anthropomorphic, yeah.
Characters in this. So they're kind of based on the animals already inside, but they're kind of human form, cutesy animals kind of thing.
Like side for kids.
It is side for kids. It plays up to 6 players. It's slimmed down rules. And I actually just thought this would probably be good. It might like encourage youngsters to get into some of this more in-depth kind of gaming.
If it works.
Yeah.
Plan.
And I'm actually looking forward to actually being speaking to Christoph. And I think pre-orders are going up soon on his site, if they're not already up now, where you can pre-order this. And
do we know a ballpark cost?
In the US, it's about $45. So
okay, that's not too bad. So is it as big as the whole game of Scythe then, just with a different theme?
No, yes and no. I mean, you can see lots of resemblance to Scythe. It's not going to have a massive board like Scythe, I don't think. And the world actually itself has been shrunk down. It uses a lot less hexes, I believe, to move about on.
Okay.
You've only got 2 miniatures in this of your characters. And you've got some other stuff going on. You've got that power wheel business going on.
Wonder if my niece will like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame the miniatures are not coming pre-painted. They're all going to come as standard plastic. I think if he...
But they didn't inside either, did they?
No, but I think in this, where you're trying to induce it to families and kids...
The kids, yeah.
Pre-painted miniatures are a lot more appealing.
They could have done that, couldn't they?
I really just... The hips helps the kids draw into it a bit more. If you've got paint
bottles... I do worry a little bit about the age target though, because My Little Pony is kind of it's slightly younger, isn't it? You know, but if you're playing a game of Scythe, I'd say you need to be at least 8, don't you?
Do you know?
And yet, My Little Pony, that's more sort of 5, 6, 7.
Out there that love My Little Pony.
Oh well, yeah, I know. I mean, there's grown men and women out there that love absolutely everything. That's not necessarily age appropriate, and you know, and people like My Little Pony, that's fine. I'm thinking more on a sort of, I'm desperately trying to think if my niece would like it or not, but I don't think she's massively into My Little Pony. I mean, she might have been a few years ago. What's she now?
So
9, 10.
Player controls 2 animal miniatures embarking upon an adventure in the kingdom of Pom, in an effort to be the first to earn 4 trophies from a possible 8 categories. Players take turns to choose to move, seek, or make. These actions will allow players to increase their friendship and pies, power up their actions, complete quests, learn magic spells, deliver gems and apples to the castle of Everfree, perhaps even engage in a pie fight. So that's quite a lot of stuff there from My Little Pony still. So they've kept it. They just had to put their own IP on the top of it. So
yeah, how are they getting away with that?
No, but the miniatures look lovely. In it, custom dice. I'm willing to give it a try and see if Isaac can like it. Even though I'm not a big fan of.
Yeah. This. Well, when your kids hate it, pass it on to me. I'll see if my niece likes it.
Okay. We'll see. So that's my little side from Stonemaier Games. And then the only other one that I thought would be good talking about is, would you like to own part of a board gaming company, Lewis?
I would, Joel.
You would. Well, now you can. Have the opportunity, and at this point, you can now buy shares in Space Goat Productions Inc. and be part of the.
Can I guess who that is?
Yes.
Space Goat Productions. Are they making a seventh continent in space, and you can buy shares in Sirius Pulp?
Unfortunately, not, because I think if that was the case, they wouldn't need to go down this route.
Yeah, that's true. I think they've already got plenty of money.
Yeah, I think we spoke about this company a while back. Space Goat Productions actually done two Kickstarters so far. Evil Dead.
Right.
And Terminator 2.
Okay.
I think we slated the Terminator 2 Kickstarter because how crap the miniatures looked. And there was something off about their processes. I didn't realise. We even spoke about the Evil Dead Kickstarter, saying it was just kind of a gimmick. It's people like nostalgia backing this and things like that. And it just didn't seem like there's much of a game there. I didn't realise. Still, people have not received the Kickstarter for Evil Dead, which was funded at least over a year ago, because it was on the
day.
And now they seem to have run out of money.
So oh dear.
If you didn't back this, well done. You've dodged the bullet. if you have backed this, I feel very
But now you can put more money into shares into a company that has no money and can't fulfill its current orders.
Yes. So basically, someone put an update. They released an update, and I went to go and look at this update just now on the Kickstarter page, and oh look, they blocked it from non-backers seeing it. I wonder why, because I read the original update, and basically in about 2,000 words they basically said they've spent all the money, they don't know how they're going to fund to get the two games out to the backers that already put the money into these backings. Yes. So the new route they are going to go down is basically they're releasing shares to their company, and you can now buy and be part of this company, and hopefully if they get enough money they'll be able to make the games they promised their Kickstarter backers and be able to get those games out to them fairly soonest. Yeah, so they've now gone to this website called WeFunder, and basically known about this one before, but it's for basically selling shares of companies, I believe. It might do more, but they're using WeFunder to sell shares in their company.
I think the Wild Beer Company did a similar thing.
Did they?
Yeah, I think it was on the same website. You could buy shares just to fund their new plant or their new brewery. I think they did pretty well on it. But anyway, yeah. Sorry, what's the early bird bonus?
There's an early bird bonus
to get a copy of the game that they can't make.
No, basically, if you back at $250 plus, you get 20% discount off one of Space Goat's play games of your choice until Safe is converted, or 50% off four Space Game publishing graphic novels of your choice until Safe is converted. Whatever that means.
That does not sound like a good spending of $250.
It doesn't even say that you get a share in the company. I thought this was meant to be getting a share in the company. Apparently, you're spending this money to get a game or comic books.
No, I don't think I'll be doing that, Joel. I take back my original. Ask me the original question again.
Do you want to own part of a board game company?
Certainly not Space Goat Inc. I don't. Joel?
You should have done it in the form of Dragon's Den. Here I want to offer
for that reason,
my company for 100,000 payback. Are you in or out, Lewis? I am out. Definitely out.
For that reason, I'm out.
For that reason, I'm out.
Yeah.
It'd be like if they went on the
Dragon's Den. Oh, yeah, that sounds awful.
So you've already been given I don't know, hundreds of thousands of pounds by people willing to get this product, and you're now telling me you
bloody awful,
know
isn't it?
All your money is. Now what?
Oh God, I'm so glad I have not backed them.
Yeah.
I've never had a bad Kickstarter. I've been so lucky.
Well,
I'm due one.
Well,
have I
put
Fireball Island and Dinosaur Island. I don't think I'm going to miss out on either of those. They're, both those companies got so much money because they're both running through their second Kickstarters, aren't they? So,
well, one of them's going through their first Kickstarter. But no.
Yeah, technically Fireball Island was the first, but they made a 1.8 mil or something, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to burn through 1.8 mil, isn't it?
Anyway.
2.8 mil, sorry.
I don't think they're going to do very well. They are up to only 17 investors and $4,100. They need to raise 250k to
1.07
million goal to fund.
Oh, gosh. Oh, dear. Yeah. Oh, dear.
It's such a slap in the face for the people that give them their money.
God, two, two lots of Kickstarter not,
that's been funded very well, I believe, and then to be sent updates. Mm. Yeah, we've got no money left, but you could help us out by going here and giving us more money. No, that doesn't work. It just pisses people off.
It's the definition of good money after bad, isn't it?
And the way they wrote it up, they must have got someone really professional in to really mince it up and twist it.
That's where the money went, mate. Broadway. On that release.
Look, we got 10 grand left of the money. What do we do? Put it into investment and get these games made.
Yeah.
Or spend it.
We could make 100 games, or.
I'm so glad I didn't back any of those. But they look crap.
Yeah, me too.
At the beginning. So, yeah.
Yeah. I feel sorry for the people who have, though.
Yeah, definitely. So other than that, I mean, there's lots of board game news out there. Our favourite game, King Domino's, getting an expansion. Don't know if you want to talk about that.
Oh, thank God. Thank God.
Don't think it's going to make
about
it
time.
King Domino, Age of Giants, is the first expansion. Oh, it's going for Queen Domino as well. So it's a expansion you can use for both.
A dual expansion.
A dual expansion, that's it. I'm in. Maybe.
Mate, you are the Southwest champion. You better get it so you can get practicing ready, ready for the national competition.
I'm gonna have to turn up this time and actually play the game. So yeah, other than that, it's a bit slack. Oh, X-Wing's getting a second edition.
Oh, I saw that. It just seems like a really good way of, it's just classic fantasy flight, isn't it? It's, oh, we've kind of done everything now. Oh, but it's so popular. Oh, how can we just make a bit more money out of it? Oh, just, can we add a new mechanic or something? It's like, well, it's already so good. Okay, just do something. Anything, or just can we rename a current mechanic that's already in the game or something? It's like, oh, I know, let's have the Force. Everyone loves the Force. It's Star Wars.
Yeah.
Not everyone's got the Force in Star Wars, and most of our characters don't have it. No, we'll have Force-sensitive people, so some people are more Force-sensitive than others, and it'll be a whole new panic. Though, is it?
Yeah.
Don't know what they're doing there. And they just seem to have released, they've basically just redone the kind of core set and a few other bits, and just doesn't look that great. I mean, I really like X-Wing. I mean, I've never got into it because I deliberately avoid anything like that that I know is, I will, there's no way, if I start it, there's no way I won't be able to get absolutely everything. And something like X-Wing, I need at least two of these, or needs to be going to make this particular format. I need four of these. And so I'd own everything. I remember when it came out and I stopped myself from doing it, thankfully. But the game itself is really quite fun. It is a really great sort of space dogfight game, and I really enjoy it when I've played it.
So basically,
but I don't know what they're doing here.
The
Fantasy
second
Flight
edition is going to be more better streamlined. So throughout the couple of years it's been out, a couple of years, maybe about 4 or 5 years it's been out, there's been several, loads of ships come out.
Yeah, it's at least 4 or 5 now, isn't it?
Been having to be rattled because of, like, people playing it competitively, finding loopholes of like extra hidden bits that they can actually like manipulate the rules to their advantage. So they've now come back and said, let's do a second edition where we rattle all this and get it more tighter but more streamlined. So in addition to the force powers to the game, will be more streamlined and versatile manner in a form of a new force
and an app
icon on
don't forget the app.
Is there an app, is there? Oh yeah.
Yeah. So basically I read through the entire press release and basically after it was a massive press release and then basically what it boiled down to was we've added this thing called the Force, we've changed some cards and now you get an app.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Oh, it's for making your own squads. You can just make your own squads and it just adds up the numbers for you.
It's to get okay. more people back into it.
Good.
Because
it's
been out for
so long,
but
I don't know.
Just kind of like, oh, don't want to get started in that. So now they re-release it, make the fans pay out again, but also to get new people hooked in on it. So, yeah.
Not to mention the fact that everyone who's got the original X-Wing stuff has to buy conversion kits now. Like, what? That's a slap in the face to everyone who's spent however many hundreds and hundreds, maybe even thousands of pounds over the last 4 or 5 years. Like, oh, by the way, loyal fans, you now can't play the game properly unless you pay us more money for each and every one of your ships so you can get this new base and this other, like, for them and this new card for them and this new... It's like, what? That is a slap. You should be offering that for free to people who have spent that much money at that amount of time for you. I'd be furious if I was already had a big collection.
Why would they do that? That means they're not making any money from their loyal fans, aren't they?
Exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. I was very disappointed with that press release when I saw that one.
So, Kickstarter is gone a bit slack. Nothing much that caught my interest. As I did say in the last podcast, I had to add it in. Exploriana got released on Kickstarter soon after we recorded. It done all right in its initial couple of days, and now it's just hit a very stagnant. It's not going anywhere. It's only about...
No, it's just shame as well, because it's such a good game.
Yeah, one third funded at the minute, and that's not moved a bit.
Yeah, it's not, I don't think it's going to fund.
I do believe... the people behind it are very accountable for its stagnant pace. Not to like dog them too much, but they haven't done much to make other people aware of it. Okay, they give out preview copies to reviewers, but only two people, that's including us, have put through reviews of it so far. So, where I saw...
I think there's a couple more now. I think there's about four.
Oh, is there now? It's updated, is it? Okay, so there's four of them up there.
I don't think... But again, I've seen the extra reviews, but again, they've not been added to the Kickstarter page.
Right.
So it's like, why haven't these been added? I don't understand.
I invited the designer onto the podcast, and he didn't reply. So...
Yeah.
I just don't know what the game is.
And they did the play view. They did the playthrough video as well. They finally got that up. And
rubbish.
Well,
makes
yeah, I don't want to be
boring.
Too critical. But those weren't the kind of games that we were playing in our games. There was shouting, laughter, cheering. They didn't seem to have so much of that in their playthroughs. I don't know. Maybe we're just really boisterous gamers. Maybe
I think
should try and
do our own playthrough video and.
Maybe we should.
Right,
yeah.
Put this up.
Yeah. I think it's such a shame because the game is true quality.
Mm. Oh yeah, we wouldn't just say that because we get a free game out of it. It's a good game.
We get sent lots of stuff, don't we?
To every gaming event I go to see if people want to.
And it's not even just us, is it? Like every time you've broken out with anyone, everyone's always loved it.
Yeah.
And certainly everyone we've played it with pretty much covers the Kickstarter. I think I don't know who else is backing it because.
Even Nigel, who goes to our Thursday night gaming, never
joined Kickstarter especially to do it.
Never been on Kickstarter. He only buys old games. He barely buys a new game. He always buys old classics. And he was like, "How do I get this game? Tell me how I do this Kickstarter thing." I was like, Nigel, it's simple.
Yeah, we had to walk him through it.
Sign up and click yes, I want a game. He goes, but does that mean I have to wait months for it to arrive? I said, yes. But...
yes.
As if it funds as well. At this rate,
yeah, yeah, exactly. At the moment, you could be waiting a life. I'm annoyed. I really wanted to come. I can't believe... yeah. Oh. I wanted the fun. It's a good fun game.
Opinion,
anyway.
And we discussed this. I think they need to cancel.
Yeah.
And re-release it on Kickstarter when UK Games Expo is going. And have people there demoing it.
Yeah.
God's sake.
Yeah. You just play that game and you want to buy it. It's fine. Like, just have people... have a little booth. People can come along and play it. Have a few tables. People come along and play it. And then have some iPads that people can sign up on the Kickstarter for straight away, and you know, I reckon I'll get at least 20% uptake of everyone who plays will be signing up for the Kickstarter.
So yeah, it's a shame, but never mind. But I did find another great Kickstarter. I think you'll want to back instantly and give your money away to this Kickstarter. It's got a great name called JAG, so it kind of makes me think of some kind of military game. It's at a very cheap price. You can pay this designer, lovely designer, 40 SEKs. I don't even know what currency that is.
40 what?
40 SEK.
Okay. Is that SEK?
It's equivalent to free South Korea. Is that correct?
Right. Okay. Gosh.
Okay.
Okay. So yes. Yeah.
So yeah, you could pay a £3 and you basically help her unlock this game in her head.
Play the game about me, with me, learning about me and becoming fantastic like me. Okay.
Nigerian prince comes
in here. We'll make a board game about me. JAG, what could possibly go wrong? I've done board games before, but this is my first real published game. This is like the people who follow my Twitter account.
Yeah.
Seems to be lots of pictures of this lovely young lady who don't quite know what she wants. I mean, that's all of it. There's a bit of a stretch goals. Greatness to be announced. My favourite bit. The basic features and ideas for the game is already in my head. Done. Don't need any more money then. Prototyping in the summer will result print and play version come the autumn. If the game reaches manufacturing stretch goals, it will then be...
Listen, right? So if you play 499 SKEs, whatever that is, it's about £42, you can get JAG Physical.
No. JAG Physical.
Yeah. I know.
Let's get physical. Physical. Pay
£20 for something physical. But I don't know about this.
£99 or more, about £8 print and play. JAG Physical, £42. Of course, I want the game printed and ready to play. This will be. Printer printed version. I'm just still in shock. I mean, what even is this? The vision. It will feature several different mechanics and be fun, easy, as well as clever in its gameplay. You'll be able to act and live as a vision of me in the game. How great would that not be, since my life is perfect? And so am I. Is this somebody taking the mick out of someone?
I don't know.
You've gone to a lot of effort if it is.
But it does make me laugh because like the front page photo is usually a video, but it's just a photo. She's just photoshopped her pictures into this board game that probably exists. I'm trying to work out what
game
it is. Oh, I know what it is.
Oh, what board game?
It's
what is it?
Camelot.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Oh, was it called Camelot? It's not called Camelot, is it?
No, the one with
the
knights and the...
Yeah. I thought it was called something else.
Yeah, knights over Camelot or something. Knights. Anyway, let's move on because that is just a waste of everyone's time. Let's move on.
Shadows over Camelot. I can't. That's what it is.
Camelot, that's it. I say I'm not going to waste another 2 minutes of my bloody life getting involved with that at all. That's a joke. Right, anyway.
Anyway, oh, hold on. I've just got an email through. That Nigerian prince needs my bank details. So let me just give him that and then we'll be back.
Yes. You definitely thought it was too late.
So we apologise for the call quality on Lewis's behalf. Hopefully soon he's going to get himself a nice new Mac and he'll be able to record his side.
Hopefully.
Without any interruptions. So, thank you all for listening and tuning for this next show that will be coming up this month, which will be hopefully the preview show to UK Games Expo. And then also we'll be doing a live recording at UK Games Expo show at this time. So, yeah, come and tune in for those shows coming up. Big thanks for Meeple's Corner for sponsoring the show. Check the show notes for details where you can find our Facebook page, our Twitter account, and where you can find the Guild. Go along there and chat to us. My name has been Joel Wright. I'm the host and editor of this show.
And I've been Lewis, and you can find me at _brewerytour on Twitter. And once again, thank you guys so much for listening, and thank you so much for helping us get towards that monumental 10,000 downloads. It means so much to us. Thank you.
Yes, definitely. And yes, this has been Devon Dice Podcast, and remember, it's your turn. There must be massive lag with the call.
Yeah, there is. It's really annoying. I've been trying to listen, and every time I try and talk or make a comment, you were still talking, and I was like, oh, he can't hear me yet. But hopefully it'll come in at a time when it won't be too bad.
We'll be back.
Joel?
Yeah? Oh, you missed that, didn't you?
Hello? Are you there?
I am.
Oh. Yeah, just about. Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
You missed my joke. Shame.
What was your joke?
I said, hold on a minute, I've just got an email from that Nigerian prince. He needs my bank details to transfer them. I'll just send those and we'll be back.
Shit, mate. Yes. You definitely thought it was too late.